I truly have been blessed in this series of going over the Ten Commandments as commandments given for our blessing. And this one is one of those ones I have a feeling it's going to be hard for me to practice what I preach, because I know who I am. But nonetheless, it has to be done. Would you take your Bibles and hold them up in the air if you brought them with you? Thank you for doing that. We always want to encourage you to do that. Would you turn to Exodus chapter 20? And I'd like to always go over the commandments that we've already gone over and then introduce the new one for today. Exodus chapter 20, starting with verse 1. You can follow along on the screen if you'd like. And God spoke all these words. I am the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself an idol in the form of anything in heaven above or on the earth beneath or in the waters below. You shall not bow down to them or worship them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, punishing the children for the sin of the fathers to the third and fourth generation of those who hate me, but showing love to 1,000 generations of those who love me and keep my commandments. You shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God, for the Lord will not hold anyone guiltless who misuses his name. Now for today's commandment. Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, neither you nor your son or daughter or your manservant or your maidservant, nor your animals, nor the alien within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them, but he rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. If there is one commandment in all of the scriptures that is least understood and least followed, I believe it's this one. Now, some of you say, well, Pastor, that's not for us. It's for the Jews living under the theocracy before they went into exile in Assyria and Babylon. Or maybe you're saying, no, in fact, it was going on in Jesus' day. Or maybe you're saying, the Jews that aren't followers of Jesus, who are, of course, Orthodox Jews, this applies to them. But it doesn't apply to us. That's the law of Moses, and we've gone over this before. This Ten Commandments section is the moral law. And it has its beginning not in Moses, but all the way back in the garden, because it came from creation and what God did. And I believe with all my heart that when he told Adam to work the garden, he also told him, listen, you work 6 days. Because it wasn't just when Moses came on the scene that God said, oh, that's right, I worked for 6 days and rested the seventh. It was a Sabbath from the very beginning. And so you need to understand that this is applicable for us. In order for us to be blessed, we need to follow it. So I want to take a closer look at this commandment that I believe is rarely taken seriously. Would you say amen to that? It's rarely taken seriously. But we also need to know, what on earth does it mean? How is it to apply to us today? Now understand this. If we don't take it seriously, we've got a problem, because God shouted 10 commandments from the mountain. He wrote on those tablets, front and back, 10 commandments, only 10. And he wrote nothing more. So of the 10 things he could write, he highlighted this as the 10 most important things he wants to communicate to his people for all time. So if God holds it that important, we had better take it seriously. So we're going to get right into it. Are you with me, church? Let's pray and we'll see what on earth is meant by this. Father, we thank you for this opportunity to gather in your house in this very brief time that we have in your presence with your body. So, Lord, we ask that you would speak to us, that our attention span would be longer than a couple of minutes. Lord, that we would have everything that otherwise would distract us be put to the side. Lord, may we hear from you today. May we be delighted. May we change as we need to change. And may you be glorified. Speak to me now, Lord, and through me, that only your message would be proclaimed. And, Lord, would you protect me from having anything of my flesh creep into this time. And may you get the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. If I were to bring in the golden calf that I have in my garage and I were to put it right here, just check and see if you're with me already. I have no golden calf in my garage, but if I had one and I were to bring it and set it on this platform and I were to bow down to it, would you be upset? Okay. If I were to take Ruddy over there and have him, hey, come on up here, bud. And I would have him come up as a volunteer like I do from time and again, and I would have run him through with a sword, murder him in cold blood. I hope you would be upset with me. Would you be upset? In fact, I would imagine that if I were to break any of the Ten Commandments, except this one, you'd be upset with me. But this one, if I were to tell you, you know, it's been days and days and days, it's been weeks, it's been months since I've taken a day off to rest. I know what your response would be because you've said it. Man, you work too hard, Pastor. Man, everybody deserves a break. You got to take a break every once in a while. But you're not upset with me. Why not? Because we don't take it seriously. That this is a command of God and it is ordained for our blessing, but also to honor Him. Many of you guys have jobs. I know it. Some of you are doctors, nurses. Sometimes you're in a new job and they make you work for 7, 14 days, sometimes a month without even one day off. Especially if there's a crisis, a hurricane comes through and you're in a crew that's going to help people out. And they have you working and working and working week after week after week. That's not what God has commanded and that's not what God has designed. Before you know it, we're not only burnt out, but we're destroyed. God gave us that commandment so that we could be blessed. I believe that. So let's do first things first. Let's start. What on earth is a Sabbath? What on earth does the word even mean? I want to share with you. And I'm going to be very bold, and I'm going to tell you exactly where it came from so that you might be warned. Do I have everyone's attention? This is from Ted Wilson's sermon. Anybody know? Just raise your hand. You don't have to tell me if you know who Ted Wilson is. I wouldn't imagine you would know. Ted Wilson is the president of the Seventh-day Adventist Church. He is was the president starting in 2010. He currently, and I checked that out yesterday, he is currently the president. And this was taken from a sermon at the fall business meeting held at the World Church Headquarters, Silver Spring, Maryland, October 2010. Listen carefully, because the Seventh-day Adventists, although Walter Martin calls them a Christian organization with cult-like characteristics in his book, Kingdom of the Cults, of which group he spends the most amount of time in that book basically analyzing, I'm not so sure I would give them that much credit. And we participated with a Seventh-day Adventist church down the street, as does Sovereign Grace Baptist, even as we speak today. They partnered with them, worshiping on Sunday because they worship on Saturday. This is what is being spewed from even the president 8 years ago and still endorsed today. And I give this to you as a warning. He writes in his, it's all out, you can look it up on any internet, you can look it up. It says, the third angel, speaking of the angels of Revelation, the third angel shows us that the Sabbath will be God's special seal or sign of his people in the last days. And anyone worshiping on another day than the seventh day Sabbath will receive the mark of the beast. Did you hear it? So if you're worshiping today, by the way, last night's group had no problem with this. I'm kidding, of course. The other worship on Saturday. But the idea is that what he is saying is the fact that you are worshiping today, you're worshiping God on a Sunday, you're going to be among those who worship the beast to take his mark. That the mark of God on the seal of God on those 144,000, by the way, they believe that the 144,000 are not genuine Jews, but they're figurative. And they are basically people of the Seventh-day Adventist movement. That's about every cult's saying. I say that to you, I'm going to share something with you in a few minutes also about a fellow who came into our church concerning this. This is perhaps one of the most pathetic doctrines I've ever heard. His eschatology is not only horribly skewed, but there's nothing about it that's right. And there's nothing about his understanding of Sabbath, even though it's in their name. And by the way, if you go over the message, it's titled, Remember Your Name. Seventh-day Adventists, it's all about Sabbath, 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 till you're blue in the face, you see it all the way throughout the message, as if Sabbath was a deity. And Jesus says, the Son of Man is Lord over the Sabbath. The Sabbath is not Lord over anything. I want to talk to you about what it means to keep the Sabbath, though, but first we have to understand what it is. It doesn't mean, That's not ours. Understand that what he says, what Ted Wilson says, is gone against by the words of the Apostle Paul. We're going to see that in a little bit. But of all the words that Sabbath is given, first of all, Sabbath does not mean seventh. It doesn't mean seventh day. It doesn't mean Saturday. Although these things it's come to mean these things in a lot of cultures, it doesn't mean that. In fact, sometimes the word doesn't just mean a day, a Sabbath day. Sometimes it means a season or a year or even a long number of years or even a special Sabbath or a special day. I'm going to ask you, take your Bibles and try to find Leviticus 25. It's in there somewhere. Leviticus 25. Remember those sword drills of years ago? No one remembers. Okay, Leviticus 25. If you can't find it, just look up on the screen. This is what is called a Shemitah. It is a Sabbath year. The Lord said to Moses on Mount Sinai, "Speak to the Israelites and say to them, when you enter the land I am going to give you, the land itself, the land, not a person, but the land itself must observe a Sabbath to the Lord. For 6 years, sow your fields, and for 6 years, prune your vineyards and gather their crops. But in the seventh year, the land is to have a Sabbath of rest, a Sabbath to the Lord. Do not sow your fields or prune your vineyards. Do not reap what grows of itself or harvest the grapes of your untended vines. The land is to have a year of rest, of Shabbat. Whatever the land yields during the Sabbath year will be food for you, for yourself, for your manservant and your maidservant, and for the hired worker and the temporary resident who live among you, as well as for your livestock and the wild animals in your land. Whatever the land produces may be eaten." Here we go. The Sabbath is not a day. The Sabbath is not the seventh. It's not the seventh day. It's not Saturday. Here's the Sabbath is 360 straight days. Do you see that? Because the word Sabbath doesn't mean day. It doesn't mean Saturday. It doesn't mean seventh. It means rest, to stop what you're doing. In fact, we're going to push this a little further. If you go to 2 Chronicles chapter 36, you may have this memorized. 2 Chronicles chapter 36 says this. This is where they're about to go into exile. It's the last chapter of this Chronicles before Nebuchadnezzar comes in and takes the people into captivity for a long time. Let's look at verse 15. "The Lord, the God of their fathers, sent word to them through the messengers again and again, because he had pity on his people and on his dwelling place. But they mocked God's messengers. They despised his words and they scoffed at his prophets until the wrath of the Lord was aroused against his people and there was no remedy. He brought up against them the king of the Babylonians, who killed their young men with the sword in the sanctuary, and spared neither young man or young woman, old man or aged. God handed all of them over to Nebuchadnezzar. He carried to Babylon all the articles from the temple of God, both large and small, and the treasures of the Lord's temple and the treasures of the king and his officials. They set fire to God's temple and broke down the walls of Jerusalem. They burned all the palaces and destroyed everything of value there. He carried into exile to Babylon, the remnant who escaped from the sword, and they became servants to him and his sons until the kingdom of Persia came to power. The land enjoyed its Sabbath rest. All the time of its desolation it rested until the 70 years were completed in fulfillment of what the word of the Lord spoken by Jeremiah." What's that long point? The point is this. They were taken off into exile, and the land was not a garden. It wasn't harvested. It wasn't farmed, if you will. For 70 years, it had Sabbath. 360 days for every Jewish year times 70 years. You guys do the math. It has nothing to do with the day. It has nothing to do with seven. It has nothing to do with the Saturday. It has to do with rest. God said in Genesis chapter 8, are you with me? God says in Genesis chapter 8, Moses comes off the boat. Noah comes off the ark. And he's talking to him. And then he makes this proclamation, never again will I cause the ground. Will I curse the ground, because of man, even though every inclination of his heart is evil from childhood. And never again will I destroy all living creatures as I have done. As long as the earth endures, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night, will never cease, will never stop. The word Shabbat means to stop, to rest. It doesn't matter to God what day you worship. Your Sabbath can be any day. It can be any day. And that's endorsed, if you will, by Paul in Romans. Would you turn in your Bibles to the book of Romans chapter 14? We had a man, while you are turning there, we had a man walk into my sermon one day. Came in through the doors. He was late. I just figured it was just another person coming in late. I didn't recognize him. And he handed a wad of papers to the usher. He stayed for just a few moments, and then he left, and I thought, I know what that's all about. And as he left, he went down the stairs. I could see him from up here, and the usher came up at the end of the service, and he handed me the wad of papers, and he said, this man came in, and he gave me these. He wanted me to give them to you. I said, I know what they're all about. And I looked at him. Yep, we're worshiping on the wrong day. Yep, we're all going to burn in hell because of it. Yep, this is the mark of the beast here. You can take this, throw it in the trash. He came in and disturbed my service so that he could tell me that I am worshiping God on the wrong day. And because I'm worshiping God on a specific day that is not the one it's supposed to be, God won't honor that and I'm going to go to hell. That the mark of the beast in the last days will be Sunday worship. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if your worship day is Tuesday at 3 o'clock in the morning, which is a church that we had in Harris Casino for 2 years, run by Lieutenant Colonel of the Army Chaplain Bob White. 2 years we had a church in Harris Casino that met at 3 o'clock in the morning on a Tuesday, because that's when the pit bosses and the dealers had time off, and so they would go to church in the casino. It didn't work because the casino realized that everything we were teaching them was to get away from the casino stuff. And then we were eventually kicked out. Doesn't work. But the point is, that was their Sabbath. That was their time to say, you know what? We're going to talk about what it means to keep it holy in just a few minutes. But it doesn't matter if it's even on a Tuesday. Look at Romans chapter 14 and verse 1. And I don't want you to get on your high horses on this, people, and look down on other people, because all of us can fit in here somewhere. Accept him whose faith is weak without passing judgment on disputable matters. One man's faith allows him to eat even peanut chews, but another man whose faith is weak eats only vegetables. The man who eats everything must not look down on him who does not, and the man who does not eat everything must not condemn the man who does, for God has accepted him. Who are you to judge someone else's servant? We are God's servant. To his own master he stands or falls, and he will stand, for the Lord is able to make him stand. One man considers one day more sacred than another. Another man considers every day alike. Each one should be fully convinced in his own mind. He who regards one day as special does so to the Lord. He who eats meat eats to the Lord. He who gives thanks to God, for he gives thanks to God. And he who abstains does so to the Lord and gives thanks to God. For none of us lives to himself alone, and none of us dies to himself alone. If we live, we live to the Lord. And if we die, we die to the Lord. So whether we live or die, we belong to the Lord. Now, I'm just going to go over just a little bit more confirmation on that. Colossians chapter 2, just a couple of verses 13 through 17. When you were dead in your sins and in the uncircumcision of your sinful nature or your flesh, God made you alive with Christ. He forgave us all our sins, having canceled the written code with its regulations that was against us and that stood opposed to us. He took it away, nailing it to the cross. And having disarmed the powers and authorities, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by the cross. Therefore, do not let anyone come into your sanctuary and judge you. by what you eat or drink, or with regard to a religious festival, a new moon celebration, or a Sabbath day. These are a shadow of the things that were to come. The reality, however, is found in Christ. I know our time is going, but I have to tell you this. Years ago, we had four services on a Sunday. We had three Sunday services, and we had one in the evening. We had no Saturday service. Let me tell you, I used to go to those Sunday night services, of course, because it's Sunday. You always go to church. You're in church all day long if you were raised like I was. It's the Lord's Day. So you go to church on Sunday morning, you go to church Sunday evening. However, my kind, aren't many left of them, and there weren't a lot of people coming on Sunday night. In fact, week after week, I would come, and there would only be 12 people, and they were fat spiritually. They had already known the Lord for a long time. They were there in the early service. They were there in Sunday school. And now they came out to Sunday church service. They all heard the same stuff. It was a relatively mild sermon. They could all say amen to that. And then they leave. And nothing changed. Nothing changed in their life. Nothing was changing in the church. People weren't coming in. People weren't getting saved. Nothing. But it was the right thing to do because this is the Lord's day. So I said, you know what? Enough of this. Let's change things around a little bit. Let's have a Saturday night service. There's a lot of Catholics in this community, and they're used to going to church on a Saturday evening. And we want to reach everybody. There's a lot of people, Protestant and Catholic, who have events on Sunday. Why can't we be a little flexible and allow them to worship on Saturday with us? Let's open our doors to everybody who normally wouldn't come to a church on a Sunday morning but might come on a Saturday night. Let's dress down. So I started wearing blue jeans. I got rid of that suit and tie from the pit of hell, and I started dressing down a little bit. And I said, you know what? I hate that stuff. Anyway, the point is, I dressed down a little bit so maybe if they came in blue jeans, they wouldn't feel uncomfortable. And we had started with refreshment, the greatest word in all of Christendom, refreshment. And we had that to start. And so they would come in. And before you know it, last night we had 120 people here. We had a light first service, about 60 people, but we had 120 people. And that's what Saturdays normally run. 10 times as many people. I got a letter from a man that was a part of the 12. 7 pages. Condemning us going to Saturday night. He's like the anti-Seventh-day Adventist person. The Sunday is the day to worship the Lord, not Saturday. And because I had gone to Saturday night, he said, this is an evil thing, and it will be the demise of your church. I thought to myself, this guy is a former pastor. I said, brother, we're not reaching anybody on Sunday nights. Now we're reaching a bunch. And I said, do you really think that God works within time? You think God cares whether we have our Sabbath day on a Saturday or on a Sunday or on a Tuesday or a Friday afternoon? Do you think he really cares about what day? He works without time. You say, he doesn't work through his week and say, oh, it's Wednesday, it's hump day, I'm looking forward for the weekend. He doesn't act like that. He is not kept in time. He doesn't care. What he cares about is that he is worshiped. And 1 out of 7, we are to stop and rest. Because it is a day holy to him, and we're supposed to carve out that time so that it would be a blessing to us and dedicated to him. Are you with me? Okay, we're not done yet. All right. Let's look at the text just once again. Exodus chapter 20 and verse 8, just for a moment here. Exodus chapter 20, verse 8, says, remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. What on earth does that mean? How do we keep it holy? Well, I think the text gives us a little hint. It says, 6 days you are to do all your work or labor, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. I think that's the starting point. We should dedicate a day out of 7 to the Lord. You say, well, don't they all belong to the Lord, including Halloween? Absolutely. They all belong to the Lord, right? And they all should be dedicated to the Lord. I got that. God's got that. He understands every day belongs to him and they ought to be dedicated to him. However, even with that knowledge, God says, among the 7 dedicated to me, I want you to hold 1 that is specially dedicated to me. And I want you to keep it holy. So how do we do that? How do we do that? Well, I think that there's ways that we do that. First of all, by getting rid of any unnecessary labor on your Sabbath. If your Sabbath is Tuesday, don't do any unnecessary labor. Dr. Mann was in our church. Those of you who don't know who Dr. Mann is, he's an OBGYN fellow in our church. And he was sitting on this side, and I kind of pointed him out and said, you know, here Dr. Mann carves out his Sabbath day, whatever day that is. And these women have the gall to have a baby right in the middle of a Sabbath. That's not unnecessary labor. I understand that. But there are things that we do on our carved out Sabbath. You say, but I got to do it. Pastor, I've worked for 6 days. I've got all these things going on. I haven't had time to cut my grass, and it's rained every single day of the summer. And now my grass is knee high. I've got to get it cut. I know it's my Sabbath, but, and God says, wait a minute. You've worked and you filled your week with all kinds of stuff that really doesn't matter sometimes, so that you couldn't do the work that you now have to do on my Sabbath. I made this day for you. It's meant for you to stop your unnecessary labor. If you ever go to Israel on a Sabbath day, you go into a hotel, you go into the elevator, what do you have? No work to be done. You don't even have to push a button. It stops at every floor. Every single floor, you have to stop and wait and stop and wait. And all the way down, it's called a Sabbath elevator. Because I'm telling you the truth. It's called a Sabbath elevator. Because pushing a button is work. The legalism and the burden of the Sabbath is man-made. The rest and the blessing of the Sabbath is God-ordained. You need to understand that there is a reason for the Sabbath. Remember the blue laws? How many old people with us? Any blue laws? Remember that? I remember growing up, my grandfather was a big farmer type guy with big mitts, and he would go to the stores that would be open on Sunday. He'd go there with his booming voice, and he would say, "You should not be open today. This is the Lord's day. This is the Lord's day." I don't think we take that seriously. Some of you remember blue laws, and there are some blue laws some places. There are some that do it voluntarily. Chick-fil-A, right? Hobby Lobby, other places. They say we want to give our employees a Sabbath rest. We want to give them time with their family. We want to honor that seventh day, if you will, or a day for them to rest. So they are forced to have their Sabbath that day. Now, I know we get angry. We say, why isn't Chick-fil-A open after church? We love it. But then we understand. We understand that they're trying to honor this. So don't do unnecessary work on that day. We were designed to work. God gave Adam the cultural mandate to work the garden and to care for it before he ever sinned. He was supposed to work, but he also designed us to rest. The second quick thing of how we do this is dedicated to the Lord is to do good things. Do good things on your Sabbath. The Sabbath is not just for grabbing a sandwich and laying down on the couch and watching football. Do good things. Jesus says it's lawful to do good for it. And remember, he went into the crowd, and there was a man with a shriveled hand. The man had been suffering for his whole life. But it was a Sabbath. And Jesus says, stretch out your hands. And they get all over him because the man's hand is totally restored, but it was the wrong day. You guys are worshiping on the wrong day. You're healing on the wrong day. And Jesus says, wait a minute. If you have an animal stuck in a ditch on the Sabbath, you get him out. You work because you're doing a good thing. Therefore, it's lawful to do good things on the Sabbath. Jesus says about a woman who was healed on the Sabbath of her issue of blood. He says, wait a minute. You guys circumcise a boy on the eighth day so that you don't mess up the covenant law. Even when that eighth day is on the Sabbath, isn't it good to heal the whole body on the Sabbath? Do good things on the Sabbath. I think that's one way that we dedicate that Sabbath. And thirdly, worshiping the Lord. Worshiping the Lord. Over and over again, Jesus and the disciples went into the synagogue on the Sabbath to worship and to teach. Worship the Lord. If your Sabbath is not right now, worship the Lord whatever that day is as part of that. Lastly, and then I'm almost done. Why was the commandment given? The commandment was given, I believe, to bless us. It's a day that be holy unto the Lord, but it was given to us by God. And I'm not going to go over the Mark passage. Thank you, brother, for reading that for us. But Mark chapter 2, Jesus goes through the field, and he picks heads of grain, and he reminds the people that the Sabbath is not to be worshipped. The Sabbath is ours. It's ours. He made it for us to give us some rest. In Matthew chapter 11:28, you guys know the passage, right? Jesus says, come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. For I am meek and lowly of heart, and you shall find rest for your souls. Jesus says, if you're weary, part of that weariness may be that you have a yoke on you that is all about working all of the time. That's who I am as your pastor. I get it. I was raised with a Puritan work ethic that says, if you don't work, you're not worthy. If you're not performing, you're not approved. And some of you are in that same vein. I call it AIPS, ants in the pants syndrome. You can't sit still. You have to be doing. My family's always on me, and they're going to be on me again for even preaching this. But the point is this. There's something about me that says I don't have value unless I'm working. And God says, you better obey my commandment. Just like the other commandments. And maybe you've got some of that in you. Maybe you got the opposite. You rest 6 days and you only work one. That's a problem too. But the point is that there is a commandment that's been given to us so that we could have rest. I'm going to conclude with this. John Stumble was the president of the Christian Missionary Alliance, and he said one time on one of his video blogs, he said, the church is too important to be run by tired pastors. The church is too important to be run by tired pastors. And I would dare say that the Great Commission and the Great Commandment are too important to be fulfilled, to be run, or to be followed by tired Christians. We need to rest. We need to take that time. You know the great thing about it is when somebody sees you resting and they say, ah, you're resting again, say, I'm obeying my God. We have the answer. I'm obeying my God. Amen? The Sabbath was made for man. Would you pray with me? Loving Father, we thank you for this wake-up call, for this opportunity for even this man to take heed to something that he doesn't take very seriously. 1 in 10. 1 in 10 commandments is this one. It is so important for you or to you that we get rest. Lord, I pray for every person in this room who, whether they're overworked or just don't take a day to honor you special, to keep a day holy to you, to find that rest, to worship you. Lord, I pray that this perhaps may have moved us in that right direction. Thank you for your moral law that shows us your heart. Thank you for giving each one of those for our blessing. And I pray that you would bless us as we follow them. Now, Father, if there's anything of my flesh that has crept into this time, may it be quickly forgotten. May only the things of you remain, I pray in Christ's name. Amen. Church, thank you for the extra time. I want to remind you at 12:30, if you want to be a part in any way of the youth ministry, we're having lunch down at the Crossbar, and we'll be meeting there sharply at 12:30. Would you stand where you are and take the hand of someone next to you as we close with a benediction? Hear the words of the Lord. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Lord bless you and go in peace.